Please open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. And also, in your bulletin is a handout today that has our text also on the inside highlighted. We're going to be reading the first 15 verses here in just a few minutes. But grab that handout and then you turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. Fanny Crosby was America's most prolific hymn writer. She wrote 8,000 gospel songs. We sing them all the time. We're going to sing one later today as well after the sermon. She passed away in her 95th year. All her days, except the first 6 weeks, were spent in blindness. However, not even the loss of eyesight could render defeat to this astoundingly courageous soul. Frances Jane Crosby was born in Putnam County, New York in 1820. A poorly trained doctor applied a crude mustard plaster poultice to her eyes when she was only 6 years old, rendering her totally blind. Even in her childhood, she realized she had a special gift. She often said, "I have a jewel, and I'm content." When only 9 years old, she wrote, "Oh, what a happy soul am I. Although I cannot see, I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't." One day in 1873, Fanny was visiting a friend, Mrs. Joseph Knapp, a musician of sorts and wife of the founder of the Metropolitan Life Insurance Company. And during their visit, Mrs. Knapp played a tune on her piano, which she had recently written. And then she asked Fanny, "What does this tune say to you, Fanny?" After kneeling in prayer for a few moments, she rose and she declared, "It says to me, and I want to sing along with this tune, 'Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine.'" Fanny began to dictate these verses to Mrs. Knapp right then and there. She wrote them down, the entire first verse, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of blood, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." Fanny Crosby died at 95 in February 12th, 1915. What a treasure and what a blessing of using her gifts for the body of Christ. And what a great hymn really is our theme this morning. We're looking this morning in 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to hone in on two verses that speak to our call to assurance. There's a kind of an interesting a thought that we're going to look at today is that our security in Christ is guaranteed. The Holy Spirit tells us that once we come to Christ, we are secure intellectually. And Tom spoke about this last week, the difference between an intellectual knowledge of gnosis and then an experiential knowledge. There's an intellectual knowledge to know that we're secure and our salvation is secure for eternity. But there's an experiential knowledge that varies. Our assurance sometimes can wane. And our assurance sometimes of knowing we are saved and our usefulness for the Lord sometimes gets caught up into the things of this world. And Peter is going to exhort us today to say, make certain. Be assured, make certain of your call and of your election. And we are going to be looking at that this morning. In your handout is 2 Peter 1, verses 1 through 15. Let's all stand together as we read God's word. This is such a great passage that I think in honor of how great our God is. This passage, you guys, we come here because we're called to exhort one another. I always like to say, we need the kick in the pants. We exhort one another to love and good works. This passage, if you are struggling in your spiritual walk today, if you're struggling to see how you can be used of Christ in your faith, in your new faith, in your old faith, then this passage, this is why this 2 Peter passage is so fantastic. Follow along as I read this. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like faith, like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and great precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will be not negligent to remind you always of these things, though you now and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as the Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things, even after my decease. Lord Jesus, thank you for Peter. Thank you that Peter, in knowing very soon that he was to die, as given to him by the Lord, he knew it wasn't going to be long, and he had an urgent call. He had an urgent call to his fellow believers and churches spread throughout Asia Minor, that they needed to make sure of their calling, to be assured that they were in Jesus. Lord, thank you that you have given us that assurance. Lord, thank you that you have gone to the cross, as we sang this morning, that, Lord, that the blood that dripped down into that dust that Friday, Lord, that blood is the one that shed, that protected us from God's wrath. Lord, thank you that we have a salvation that we did nothing to earn, but Lord, that we can celebrate it and know that we own it. And Lord, guide us today, Lord, as we look at this idea of growing, Lord, of growing and growing to in diligence, growing to know that we have assurance, and growing to know that we have abundance and inheritance that's reserved. Lord, and we thank you in your name. Amen. You may be seated. One of my favorite, I took a class when I was just married. Lizzie and I actually, we were both took a Shasta Bible College class, and it was called New Testament Theology a number of years ago. I won't tell you how many years ago, but it was quite a few. And one of the books in there was called a book called Jensen's New Testament Survey. And what I loved about this book, I don't know if it's a guy thing, but I think it's all of us. We can be drawn to charts and graphs and maps. And sometimes with maps, I just appreciate kind of a bird's eye view. Have you ever like gone on Google Earth and looked at, the first time you looked at your property or you looked at your house and you looked up for Google Map and you go, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know about that property line and how that fits together. And you get a bird's eye view of your place. Well, Jensen's New Testament Survey gives a bird's eye view of all the books of the Bible. And on the back of your bulletin, I love this because I think it really gives us a picture of the book of 2 Peter. And you can, in that book, you can look at a number of different books and get a bird's eye view and get an outline. And in chapter one, you can see, and what he does is we won't spend a lot of time on this, but you can kind of just see there's different facets of 2 Peter that he's used as he breaks down chapters 1, 2, and 3. But the overall idea in chapter 1 is we're cultivating our Christ-like character. We are looking today at, and Tom last week talked to us about how we are increasingly sanctified by adding to our faith. Adding to our faith knowledge and adding to our faith self-control. We have a call to grow. And in our Christ-like character, we need to be growing. We have to be cultivating this salvation that we have and in holiness, as you can see in chapter 1. And there's a reason. And this is why I love these outlines. Because something's coming in chapter 2. Something's coming in chapter 2 that comes against us today. And that is that our battle is not against flesh and blood. The enemy wants to get in and divide and destroy our spiritual walks and our families and our churches. And he does that through false teaching. He does it through heresy. And that's the same thing happened in 2 Peter. And so there's a reason we're our calling today is we look at this idea of spiritual growth and why spiritual growth has to be taking place. And it's urgent. It's not like, oh, we're saved, and okay, now I can just kick back, and once saved, always saved, I can do what I want. No, we are called to grow in grace, and we're called to make sure of our calling, as we will see today, because we see this idea of something that's going to come against us in the church in chapter 2 of 2 Peter. And then he closes the chapter out with also an encouraging word of confidence that in the last days there is going to be a design for the future and there is going to be confidence in the return of Jesus Christ. And so I wanted to share that with you. It's just kind of a cool thing as we go through 2 Peter to have an outline of that. And we're going to be jumping in today and looking at this idea of assurance, this idea of what this means to make certain of our call and our election. So we're going to hone in on verses 10 and 11. And verses 10 and 11 say the following, therefore, we'll talk about therefore in a second, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I just want to give three brief points this morning. And I want to make them brief because I want us to really hone in on these and think about these and as we read, and then we're going to close our time off singing that great hymn from Fanny Crosby, Blessed Assurance. Spiritual growth is our call here in 2 Peter chapter 1, and it is to be pursued with daily diligence. Our spiritual growth, not only are we to pursue it with daily diligence, there's a result of our spiritual growth. And that spiritual growth leads to earthly assurance. Spiritual growth leads to earthly assurance. And finally, spiritual growth results in eternal abundance. Eternal abundance. So we're going to look at these three points this morning. We have often do this, but when you come to a passage and you see the word therefore, you need to know what it's there for. We had just got done last week. Tom closed off the section with a warning. Peter is giving a warning to the believers in verses 8 and 9. And it's an urgent warning. Where there is lack of spiritual growth, when the virtues Tom reviewed last week are not being added to our faith, when a faith of a Christian stays in its infancy and we just stay drinking milk instead of feeding on the meat of God's word, what happens? Well, it says there what happens. If we're stunted in our growth and we're not adding, our sanctification is being stunted either by sin or a lack of faith. And look at some of the descriptors there, that our faith can be barren, unfruitful. Believers can be even short-sighted, even to the point of blindness. And I tell you what, this is an even scary point. That last phrase, even forgetting that he has been cleansed from his own sins. Wow. One commentator said it's like spiritual amnesia, that if we're not growing and we're not seeing the evidence of Christ in our life, there's almost this sense of this fret of like, am I really even saved? It's there's this idea of spiritual amnesia of this believer who is not growing. Now, the reason therefore is there in verse 10 here is Peter is going to contrast this a non-growing believer with a growing believer. And he's going to contrast this non-growing believer with one who has been diligent to grow in Christ. And boy, there's a great result for us. When we are diligent in our growth, something happens to us. We have this assurance. We have assurance and we have confidence. And that earthly assurance, we know that Christ and the Holy Spirit is growing within us. We see fruit in our families. We see fruit in our body. And then also we see abundance that is going to come to us eternally. So that's really, really, really important as we see that this morning. So in that first point, that's why that therefore is there. The word diligence, that gives an idea, the meaning of that is a sense of urgency. It's an intense effort and an eagerness of spirit applied to the believer's walk. Sean's going to share next week, there's not much time for Peter left. He knows his time is limited. He doesn't know if it's days or weeks, but he knows that he's going to be going home to be with the Lord pretty quick, and he is giving a diligent appeal to the believers. This effort of diligence is so important because it affects our sanctification, our growth, which results in the assurance of our salvation. A couple verses that talk about the importance of diligence. Philippians 2, 12 through 12 and 13. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good promise. If we thought of that for a moment, if you just dwelt on that, that God is at work in you and in me for his will. And you just said, God is at work in me. God is at work in us. God is at work in my family. God is at work in me to work out my salvation. Our salvation has already been given to us. That what Paul's saying in Philippians is that you have been saved. Now you are going to experience this salvation with good works, which is going to be evidence of your faith. We have been saved by grace, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. But Ephesians 2, 10 says we are his workmanship, created for good works. That's our purpose as believers. We're not left here to just do what we want to do, and God doesn't take us to glory after we're saved right away, but he leaves us here for good works. Romans 12, 2 says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Galatians 6, 9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for the proper time will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So we are called to be diligent in our growth. We're not going to spend so much time on how to grow. We've been doing that, and we will continue to do that. But we know how we're to grow. We're to grow in being, as Tom spoke last week, this growth is based on being in God's Word, being in it daily, being in prayer, being in fellowship, being amongst the saints in God's Word, praying and singing, and we grow that way. We're called to be diligent. And remember the bird's eye view on the back of your bulletin, and there's a reason. We have to be diligent because of what is coming and what is here. And that is why Peter was saying, starting by saying, you have to be assured of your salvation. You need to be growing in grace, because when the tough times come, when the false teachers hit, when false doctrines come and say, you know what, you can be saved, but you can still dabble over here in the flesh a little bit. Or when false teaching comes and says, you know, maybe Jesus really wasn't God. Maybe he was, you know, and the false teaching questions the deity of Jesus. How do we respond to that? How would we respond as a church? So there is a diligence that's needed. The second point this morning is that spiritual growth leads to earthly assurance. And the phrase that's kind of the focus phrase this morning is this, a phrase that kind of gets mixed up with some folks, and you kind of look at it and you go, what's that mean, Mark? Make your call and election sure. JC spoke this morning and quoted the idea that we have been called and predestined from the beginning of time, chosen for God's glory, and what a great salvation that is. And on the one hand, we read that and we know and we see God's word, but then we see what's Peter saying here. To make your call and election sure? Like, are we questioning our call and our election? You know, the point, that, as we will see, the purpose of that is found in the idea of these of what Tom spoke of last week. Tom spoke last week that we are to be diligent. Look in verse 5. Be diligent to grow. Be diligent to add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control. So we're going to be diligent to do those. Then look at verse 10. Be even more diligent. And this is equating the two. Equating your growth with your salvation. Be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, what are these things? These things are what's in verses 5 through 7. When you are adding to your faith, virtue, and knowledge, and self-control, when you are growing in godliness, that's these things. You are making sure of your call and of your election. Remember the passage in Matthew 22. It's probably one of the greatest short phrases that Jesus used on the difference between being called and being chosen. And if you remember in Matthew 22, the parable of the wedding feast, and in that parable, the king sends his servants out to gather the wedding guests to the wedding feast, but those invited refused to come, some because they were too busy with their own worldly pursuits, and some because they were positively hostile toward the king. So the king commands his servants to go out and invite anybody. Invite anybody that wants to come. And many come. Many come to the wedding hall. That's what that word call is. It's actually that the if you look up the Greek call, it's like an invitation to a party. And he is calling, and Jesus is saying this king is calling everybody now. The people that I wanted to come to the party and the initial invite, they're not coming, so I'm going to invite everybody. And so and many come, and they fill the wedding hall. But the king sees a man, and he doesn't have wedding clothes, and he sends him away. And Jesus concludes by saying that many are called and invited to the kingdom, but only those that have been chosen and receive Christ will come. Those who try to come without the covering of the blood of Christ for their sins, they're inadequately clothed, and they cannot come to that wedding banquet. And this at the time was just speaking of the religious leaders of the time, where the nation of Israel and the Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees and the religious elite of Jerusalem and Israel had rejected the Messiah. And because of their rejection, the Lord in his sovereign grace, the Gentiles, we've been grafted in, and we are invited to the wedding feast because we have been chosen, because we've accepted Christ and his blood sacrifice for our sins. And so that's where this phrase comes from. Many are called, but few are chosen. 2 Thessalonians talks about how for us, for those that are believers, we've been called and chosen. For a lot of the world that aren't believers, they've been called. They've been called. God has a general call. God desires that none should perish. He puts out a general call for salvation for everybody. Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. But does everybody come to Jesus and find rest in him? Unfortunately, no. That's the sad part. He who has ears, let him hear. And unfortunately, most of the world does not hear. But 2 Thessalonians 2:13-14 says this: God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith and in truth. It was for this he called you through our gospel, the call of the gospel. But you were chosen from the foundation of the world. How do we understand that in God's sovereign design? We don't get it, but I'm just sure glad that we can rest in the fact that we have a God that thought of you and thought of me before the foundation of time and called us from darkness into his light. Praise the Lord for that truth, that we've been chosen and called. Man, that's to be celebrated. And what we're called to do, as Wayne Grudem says, and I put a couple quotes here that I think really speak to this idea, that the way that we confirm our call and election is to continue to grow in these things, verses 5-7. This implies that our assurance of salvation can be something that increases over time in our lives. Every year that we add to these character traits in our lives, we gain greater and greater assurance of our salvation. How many of you were young at camp or in Sunday school and maybe accepted Jesus into your heart about 17 times, okay? I want to be saved. Well, am I really saved? That sort of thing. And if you think about it, as a young believer, you have that head knowledge, but you have not experienced growth yet. You have experienced growth. So that's natural. I don't think we need to worry about, you come to salvation when God has ordained that salvation, and when that might be a certain time account campfire, that's correct. But growth has not taken place in you yet. And so for those of you who just accepted Jesus here recently in the past few years or even in the past few days, do not worry when doubt comes in, because you are in a growth process. Stay in God's word. Stay in fellowship. Stay in his holy word. There will be times when assurance wanes, but when you see growth and you see the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness coming in your life, that's to be encouraged. But I also might add, in the body of Christ today and in our body here and in bodies everywhere, are folks that have claimed the name of Christ and have a head knowledge of Jesus, But there's not been much growth. There's not been much fruit. And Peter is giving us a call to urgency to say, hey, let's get going here. Let's get growing. And I think there's other scriptures that speak to that someone just that continues in that for years and years and never grows. In 1 John it says, test your faith. And there's folks that may think they're saved that really aren't, because there's not been fruit. But boy, we are called, this urgent call to us here is an assurance of salvation is so needed. John Piper says, the confirmation of your election is your progress and sanctification. God predestined all the elect to be conformed to the image of Christ. Therefore, the reassuring evidence of our election is Christ's likeness. Nothing gives me greater joy and gives, I think, you guys greater joy to see folks and families growing in Christ-likeness. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it to come and see little ones singing and families being raised in the body of Christ and growing and growing and growing. And yeah, we're gonna fall. We're gonna fall from time to time. In fact, at the end of verse 10, what happens, it says, when you make your call and election sure, if you do these things, you will never stumble. Well, what's that mean? Does that mean we'll never sin? No, it doesn't say sin. It doesn't say we'll never sin. It just says we'll never stumble. What is the opposite of assurance. If you don't have assurance, imagine if you don't have assurance of something, what is the opposite of that? Maybe words like doubt, despair, grief, fear. And now take that to your spiritual condition. If you don't have a strong sense of spiritual assurance about your salvation, then that's what stumbling means. To stumble is that idea of falling into doubt, falling into depression, falling into grief and fear because you're not sure about your spiritual condition. If you want to make your calling and election sure, you're going to make sure and to add virtues to your faith, produced by the Holy Spirit as you pursue Him. As you pursue those things and you see that you are useful to God and fruitful, and these are increasing in your life, you will not stumble into doubt, despair, fear, and questioning. And that's encouraging. Yes, we're going to trip up. Yes, we're going to question sometimes, and we're going to have questions and go to God's Word and wrestle with things, but we will not stumble to the point of despair. Charles Spurgeon says there's a difference between falling and falling away. The true believer can never fall away. He's in the eternal grasp of the Father, and nothing can take a believer out of the hands of the Lord, even our own self-doubt and our own failure sometimes. But we fall. We fall in areas, and we fall in doubt and despair sometimes. But when we are growing, those will be few and far between. Finally, this morning, we're going to look at the third point, and that is this: spiritual growth results in eternal abundance. Peter opens his first letter to, and you don't need to turn there, but I'm just going to kind of read there because the phrase is there. In 1 Peter to all the churches, he says this: believers, all believers have been born again to an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away. We have an RSVP of an abundant life for all eternity. And I'll tell you what, from the thief on the cross that accepted Jesus a few seconds before he died, to the 8-year-old that accepted Christ at a young age, that we all have an abundant inheritance for us. And what that is encouraging. The context of this, though, and what Scripture also speaks to, is there is the, and especially in 1 Corinthians, and we'll turn there, that the context in verse 11 seems to speak to the fact that an abundant entrance is granted to those that have been faithful in the virtues listed in 5-7. A rich, abundant reward is waiting for those that have been spiritually fruitful and built on God's foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians 3. We'll read this sobering and exciting passage that is the where we find the idea of the bema seat, the day of the Lord of the bema seat. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The bema, the judgment seat of Christ. This is found throughout 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Starting in verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. Let me read that again. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. First Peter says that. We are built up as living stones, building God's house as believers. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. It's the idea that that Paul and the Peter and the apostles laid the foundation for the church, and we as believers are building upon the foundation laid by Christ as the cornerstone, the apostles, and now as the church, the called out ones, the ecclesia, we are building upon that. And verse 11, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation besides Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which has been built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If what Tom spoke about in verses 5 through 7 of last week, if we are adding to our faith those virtues, and if we are fulfilling our call for good works as believers, then we are building with gold and silver and precious stones. But in verse 15, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. I'm going to be honest with you. That, for years, and still does to a little bit, scare the living daylights out of me. But here's what I've come to accept. I'm going to walk through, and I already know, I'm going to suffer loss then, but I'm going to already know that I'm suffering loss now to know. And just so you know, you can join me in this. I am going to walk through, and there's going to be some stuff that's going to burn up. It's going to burn. But on the other side, there will be some gold and silver, is my prayer, for all of us. As we build on that foundation, I wish there was less over here. And as we grow, we know that we have regrets over things or where we have fallen in certain areas. But I also know that we are called right now to build on that foundation and to be able to have even a little bit of gold and silver and precious stones to lay at the feet of Jesus when we come before him will be so awesome. Yeah, there's going to be stuff that burns up, and we'll suffer loss for a bit, but then he will wipe every tear away, and that's our call. Spiritual growth. Peter wants us to be diligent in it because that spiritual growth leads to our assurance, that assurance we have to have in the body of Christ. If we're a bunch of believers that don't have assurance of our salvation, we're going to be not very useful for the Lord. And that spiritual growth will result in eternal abundance. Grab your hymnals. We're going to close this morning with that great hymn. I'm going to ask Lizzie to come up, and we're going to turn to 67. 67. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of the Spirit, washed in his blood. We'll sing all three verses. Why don't you stand together? Verse number 67 in your hymnals.